done the bulk of the carrying. So I actually got to go through it not knowing what to do next. It's kind of interesting because you get at a point where you're looking at what you're supposed to be doing and you have no idea where to go. And so you start looking under things, you start looking over, you know, you start looking in things. You don't really know what to do next. You're kind of lost. You're listless. I get this picture of Joseph being lost and listless. And this man says, who are you looking for? He points him towards the brothers in the field. And I think that most of us kind of know how this goes. His reward for finding the brothers is that the brothers decide that, okay, they see him coming a long way off, as the scripture says, and they concoct a plot. Okay? So they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Joe, okay, we're going to throw him into a pit. Okay, we're going to take his blood, or we're going to take his coat, we're going to dip it in some blood, we're going to bring it back to Dad, ask him if this is the right coat, tell Dad a wild beast must have got to him, and then what we're going to do is we're going to sell him to some slave traders. So, they do that, and the slave traders take him, and then they sell him to some other slave traders, and he ends up in Egypt. Okay, so Joseph goes from being the, you know, golden child of Israel's to slave boy. How the mighty have fallen, huh? You're in a different country. You presumably don't speak the language. You're a slave. But God blessed and was with Joseph. Genesis 39 tells us that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Since Joseph was there, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house that he was serving. Okay, now we know that some things would go along with that. Scripture doesn't tell us explicitly, but you can tell that Joseph is going to have to work hard. You know, what we see with Joseph is we see a consistent promotional track. Now, you wouldn't be signing up to be on the promotional track that he got to be on. Okay, you know, the slave promotional track doesn't have a lot of perks, just so you know. Okay, the jailer promotional track also doesn't have a lot of perks to it. Okay, but Joseph was working his way up to the top, and the Lord was with him and was blessing him in the different circumstances that he was in. If you turn over to chapter 39, and verse 11. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. Now this is going to go into the situation with Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife sets Joseph up. Okay? She sets him up so that either he's going to betray his master, or she's going to have him thrown into prison or worse. But what I want you to notice there in verse 11, something really easy to read past. Now, it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work. Now, she's setting him up, and we realize that she's setting him up. He's going into the house to do his work. It said that Potiphar didn't concern himself with anything other than what he was going to eat. You know, so he set the kitchen schedule because he was concerned that he got enough T-bone and ribeye and porterhouse. And then after that, he didn't particularly care what was going to take place. We're going to let Joseph manage it all. So Joseph goes into the house to do his work. Again, God is blessing him and he's working faithfully. So we see that he goes into the house to do his work. Now, how do you suppose that Potiphar's wife knew when to have all the rest of the men out of the house? Well, when you think about it, it was pretty plain that he had some sort of schedule that he kept, right? She knew when he was going to come in, and she knew to have everybody else out of the house. And if the lady of the house tells you to get out of the house and you're a servant, guess what? You're going to listen to your master, right? So, she could predict So he could predict when he was going to be in to do his work. So he is doing his work, doing what he's supposed to do, remaining faithful to his master, coming in on a predictable schedule, being consistent. And all of that, the reward was to land him in jail. Right? So he doesn't betray his master. Okay? She makes a false claim against him. And he gets to go to jail for that. So, he had some, you know, he was a slave, so he didn't really have any freedom. But I bet it was a whole lot nicer being a slave in Potiphar's house than being a slave in the prison. What do you think? So, his faithfulness, his work ethic, the Lord's blessing lands him in the slammer. Okay, so then in chapter 40, this is kind of interesting, we see Joseph taking care of the cupbearer and baker. Look at verse 7 in particular. Let's see here. So let's look at 40 and verse 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" Okay. So, Joseph, actually I want to pick up verse 4 as well. "And the captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time." So, what we have here is the cupbearer and the baker, they're getting thrown into prison. They fell out of favor with Pharaoh. They get thrown into prison, and what we see is that Joseph gets put in charge of them. He gets put in charge of these guys. Again, he had worked his way up to make the prison officer's job easier. And so he's checking in on them. He's asking about them. Verse 4, he's taking care of them. Now, do you think that, again, we're not told explicitly, but do you think that the cupbearer and the baker are the only people that Joseph took care of? Probably a number of people, right, that Joseph is having to look after, is having to take care of, a number of people that we don't know their names or their circumstances, and yet Joseph is faithfully ministering to these people. He's faithfully ministering to the cupbearer and the baker, and as he faithfully is doing his job, as he is faithfully ministering to the people that God has set in his path, God uses him. So, cupbearer and baker, okay, they get a couple of dreams. We're familiar with those dreams, right? Cupbearer, he tells Joseph his dream, and God gives Joseph the interpretation of the dream. The cupbearer gets restored. The baker said, "This is good news. I'm going to tell him my dream as well." And not quite such a good outcome for the baker. Basically, instead of being restored to your position in 3 days, your head is going to be removed in 3 days. Okay, well, that didn't work out the way we planned. Okay, so he says, "Look, cupbearer, you make sure and tell Pharaoh that I'm in here and that I shouldn't be in here, and to, you know, remember me. Get me out of here." And the cupbearer's like, "Absolutely, right? No problem. And get you out of here. Well, let's see if this dream comes true." Then we're left to guess, but maybe in his elation, who knows, maybe he only had so much capital. Right after the Pharaoh decides he wants to restore him, he's not going to press his luck and say, "Hey, what about my buddy?" Who knows? He says he forgets about Joseph. And so Joseph gets to minister faithfully in the prison for 2 more years. How's your attitude right about now if you're Joseph? I mean, what's Joseph done wrong? He has worked hard. He's had a great attitude. He's dealt righteously and justly and faithfully. He had opportunities to take the easy way out. He had opportunities to improve his status of his own volition, and yet he does none of those things, and it lands him in prison. See, Joseph interprets, finally Pharaoh has a dream, okay? is Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. And he was promoted into second in command. As the Lord gave Joseph the interpretation for Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh is promoted to second in command in all of the land of Egypt. And more importantly, Joseph served his family. Excuse me, he saved his family from starvation and moved along God's plan to raise a people in the midst of Egypt. See, that's easy for us to see on the other side of it because we didn't have to live through even the 2 extra years of being in prison. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend 2 hours in prison. He had to spend an extra 2 years in prison, but we know the other side of that. So we're like, oh yeah, of course he had a great attitude. I would have had a great attitude too. Okay, I hope that we all by faith get to that point where that's true, where that's a true statement. But we gotta kinda put ourselves in the place. I mean, family betrayal. I mean, you think your family is rough sometimes. I know a couple of people whose family have tried to murder them, but it's not common. You know, I haven't had that experience. Okay? Family betrayal, slavery, prison, more prison. This is not a posh lifestyle. And yet, Joseph was faithful. So if we go to Colossians chapter 3, because God's working a big plan. God's working a plan that he's going to save his family. We know that his family is the nation of Israel. God is going to save his family and he is going to raise up a people in the land of Egypt, which is what God is going to need to have them be delivered from Egypt to point towards the Christ that is going to lead us out of spiritual slavery to give us spiritual deliverance. See, was it important what Joseph was doing? It can't be overstated the importance of what Joseph was doing. Setting this all up for the true Savior, for the true Deliverer. But he did not know that in the moment. He had to live by faith in the moment. Colossians chapter 3, excuse me, starting in verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong with which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. See, Joseph, because of God's character, knew that if he remained faithful, God would work through him. We have the same promises made even more sure. Okay? The Lord will be with us, just like the Lord was with Joseph, and we will receive a reward. Think about the first century Christians here in Colossae. These are instructions that are being given to the slaves. It says, slaves, obey your masters. We talked about that a little bit last week. But slaves, obey your masters. Don't you think that there's going to be some encouragement there, knowing that a former slave's work, Joseph, his work was remembered, rewarded, and relevant? See, the Lord remembered Joseph. He hadn't forgotten about him in the land of Egypt, had he? He remembered him. He was working a very specific plan. That his work was rewarded. They knew their history, the nation of Israel, to come through. And it was certainly relevant. God's plan is all going through that little piece of time where Joseph is being faithful so that God can raise his people in the land of Egypt. So that he's doing that through a slave. A slave. He's not doing that through the Bill Gates of the day and the Gates Foundation. He's not doing that from Steve Jobs. He's not doing that from Obama or Trump. He's working through a slave. The lowest of the low. And the slave's faithfulness is impacting the rest of history. Not only the rest of human history, but God working his very plan through man is coming through the faithfulness of a Hebrew slave in a land where he's dispossessed. A land that he doesn't belong to be in. So, would that be encouraging to you to know that Joseph's work was remembered, rewarded, and relevant? So how about those first century slaves that were in Jesus Christ? Can they know then that their work is going to be remembered, rewarded, and relevant? These are slaves that have more than what Joseph had. Joseph just has a vague promise of faithfulness from God. Joseph doesn't know how God's going to work. He knows that God's been working with his family. He knows the stories that his great-grandfather, grandfather, and father have told him. That's what he knows. But what's he have specifically? A nation. He's a slave. Maybe, you know, probably God is going to work through the oldest in our family. That is not me, right? So there's encouragement here in the scripture, okay, that, hey, slaves, your work is relevant. Your work is going to be remembered, and your work is going to be rewarded by your master. Scripture says, okay, verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. You will receive a reward. Slaves on the earth, not a lot to keep them motivated. And that's why the Lord is working with their attitudes to see their masters as Jesus Christ, as opposed to just some master in the flesh who's bossing me around. And see the master as Jesus Christ. But the encouragement here is that you will receive a reward from the Lord. Does the Lord see it all? Does the Lord know how to give good gifts? Does the Lord know how to reward? And so he's saying, look, you know, when you sweep, you know, behind that place that you know that nobody's going to check if you sweeped or not, Lord sees that. He rewards. Okay? You do the work that nobody knows whether you're doing it or not, the Lord sees and rewards. See, there's not that guarantee here on the earth. On the earth, you know, a lot of people are not compensated appropriately. They're not paid what they're worth. That happens all the time. Okay? Sometimes you have a great idea and your boss takes it, right? Sometimes things are, you know, you got a rookie contract and now you're Le'Veon Bell and you have to sit out all year. I mean, sometimes you're just not paid what you're worth. That happens all the time here on the earth, but there's a spiritual promise here that we will receive the reward for our inheritance because our master sees it all. There's nothing that he misses. You know, he's a God that knows. He's a God that sees. Group projects in college are one of the worst things in the world. They are the worst. Okay? I remember one group project that I had in particular, and the lady told me, she's like, yeah, I've had you in other classes. She's like, I knew that you would do the work. That's why I came over and sat here when the teacher was assigning groups, because I wanted to be with somebody else who I knew was also going to work, which I really appreciated, right? She had seen my work, and the indication is that she's probably going to get her stuff done too. Like, she cares about it. Well, group projects in college are the worst, because typically you get one grade. Right? And so you could do the great responsible job that you're supposed to do. You could do good hard work. And if it's a group of four and two out of the four of you do great and the other two do shoddy work, guess what? Not a great grade. Okay. Now, One reason is that responsibilities sometimes aren't clearly delineated. You get judged as a group and rewarded as a group. You know, this is incredibly frustrating. Guys, it doesn't work that way with our Master who's in heaven. Certainly, we're a group who has to work together, right? Let's say that a little bit better. We're a group that gets to work together. We're a group that can get great things done together. But you know whose work you're going to be rewarded based upon? Yours. Yours. You don't get rewarded based upon my work. I don't get rewarded based upon your work. You don't get rewarded based upon Bob's work. Bob doesn't get rewarded based upon Davey's work. Each one of us are individually rewarded based upon the work that we individually do. So we accomplish things together as a team, but our Lord is the one who individually rewards, and He sees it all. He cares about the way in which we work. In fact, He gives us a warning to build with good materials. We be careful the way that we build, not with hay and wood and straw, but good materials. Because we have a Master that sees it all. And the Scripture tells us that He rewards. You will receive the reward of the inheritance. How much of the inheritance do you think the first century slaves usually received? Inheritance is for blood relatives, right? See, we're willing slaves of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're sons and daughters too, aren't we? Well, we're slaves, we're bond slaves that have received, that will receive our reward of our inheritance. We have a Master. As a free people, see, no slaves in this audience, okay? So as a free people, we are Christ's bond slaves. Scripture makes that really clear. Now look, if your status when you became a Christian is that you're a free person physically, you're Christ's bond slave. And if you're a slave, earthly status when you become a Christian, okay, you're Christ's freedman. Okay. And so the point that he's making is that we are willingly under compulsion of our Lord and Savior, of our Master. Each one of us, that's one of the things that we signed up for, is that God is in control now. He's the Master of my life. He's not some add-on. He's not some addition. He's not some convenience. He's not some medicine to make me feel better on a Sunday afternoon. He is our lives. He's the Master. He's the boss. And as a free people, we are Christ's bond slaves. See, that's one of the things that the interesting thing with verse 17 is contrasted with verse 23 in particular. This is so cool because, like, whatever you do. Well, for us, that's a lot of options. You were a slave in the first century. That wasn't a lot of options. But for us sitting in this room, whatever you do contains a lot of stuff, contains a lot of options, contains a lot of different roads that you can go down. But ultimately, whether you have a lot of options or whether you have no options at all, the encouragement and admonition is to work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Because no matter what your earthly status is, Jesus is the Master. Jesus is the one that's in charge, and we are grateful and thankful to be His bond slaves. Our lives are not our own. We're sons. We're going to receive an inheritance. Our Master is also our Father, and He has our best interest in mind. Working for Christ as your Master, being a slave of Christ, is way more advantageous than being any free man in any of the best countries of the world. There's no comparison. Being Christ's slave is better than being king of any of the countries of any of the in the world. Being Christ's slave is better than that. We're His kids. The reward is worth whatever
the cost is. Finally, God judges without partiality. Again, earthly status really isn't particularly relevant. We've got a lot of similar statuses, if you will, going on in this room. And you know what? It's not particularly relevant. We could look different. We could come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. None of that stuff matters. What matters is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that each one of us is committed to being Christ's bondslave. He's in control. He's the master. But for us, I do want to leave one last word of encouragement. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. See, our master, he judges righteously. The way he judges, it's like those awesome teachers or professors that would give you an open book test, right? Man, open book tests, they were the greatest. Okay, I basically just know the principles and go from there, because I'll be able to look up any specifics that I need to look up. Oh, guys, God gives us an open book test. He tells us how he's going to judge. He tells us what he's looking for from us. He gives us an open book test. And he judges and he gives to each according to our faith. And he does give each one of us different ability. He gives each one of us a different status. And he knows that. So some encouragement for us that are in this room. Let's look at, start in verse 47. Luke 12, 47. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many, many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. And from everyone who has been given much shall much be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. I don't know about you, but I can look pretty clearly upon my life and what I've been entrusted with and know that the Lord expects quite a bit. And that's a question for you individually to ask and to answer. But I think probably the fact that you're in this room, the Lord's entrusted quite a bit to you too. Let's give him a return on his investment.